الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the world. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger, and His peace and blessings be upon Him, His household, apostles and the believers who take the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bismillah ta'ala, we shall proceed from where we stopped last time, chapter 54, Babu Fadl al-Bukai min Khashyati Allah ta'ala wa Shawqan ilayhi. The chapter that discusses the excellence of weeping out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشَوْقًا إِلَيْهِ and aspiration and burning desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. Whosoever loves to meet Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves to meet them. We, after taking the introductory aspect of this chapter, that is the verses, we've taken the first hadith of Abu Mas'ud. Today we shall proceed with that of Anas رضي الله عنه وأرضاء. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال خطب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة ما سمعت مثلها قط، فقال لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولا بكيتم كثيرا. The chapter is 54. باب فضل البكاء من خشية الله تعالى وشوقا إليه. أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم delivered a sermon the likeness of which I have never heard before. ما سمعت مثلها قط. I've never had that kind of sermon before. فقال, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said amongst other things, لو تعلمون ما أعلم. لو تعلمون ما أعلم. If you knew what I know, that is the unseen, those things that were shown to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some narrations of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this statement when after he came back from the Isra, the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. When he came back, he told his apostles, he said, لو تعلمون ما أعلم. If you knew what I know, لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. You would laugh little. Your laugh will have been very little. ولبكيتم كثيرا. And you will weep much. You will have weep much than you laugh. That is if you knew what I know. We've read a hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed his apostles in so many instances that if not because of the fear I am nurturing that you might not bury one another, I will have supplicated unto Allah to make you hear the cry and the wailing of the people of the graves. لولا أن تدفن. which means that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do hear some of these things, he do see some of these things, and during his lifetime, by virtue of his presence amongst the apostles, they also saw some of these signs, like the hadith of when they all had a very strong sound. And Rasulullah ﷺ inquired, did you just hear that sound? They said, yes, we did. He said, that is a sound of a stone that was thrown into the Jahannam for the past 70 years. It just landed. For Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all are aware that he saw the hellfire. He also saw the paradise. He saw the hellfire. He saw the series of punishments that were there. He saw the paradise. In reality, how it looks, he saw it. In the previous chapter, we will recall that there is one of the hadith in which Rasulullah said, if we know the reality of the hellfire, none of us will even be thinking of being covered by the rahmah of Allah. That is why it is not a playing ground. When the hellfire is being mentioned, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see it on them. You see the signs on them of how scared they are of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So those are the things, if we were to know, wallahi, we wouldn't have been laughing often if we were to know. Qala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, despite the fact that they don't know, they don't have the likeness of the knowledge Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have, they said, Anas said, فَغَطَّى أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَجُوهَهُ, that the apostles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there and then, when they had this, they covered their faces. وَلَهُمْ خَنِينَ, and they were crying. وَلَهُمْ خَنِينَ, and they were crying. Despite the fact that which would have made their laugh very little is unknown to them. But they know that it is very grievous. So they covered their faces and they were crying. وَصَدَقَ بَيَانُهُ فِي بَابِ الْخَوْفِ. This same hadith, we've explained this same hadith under the chapter that discussed fear. وَنَبِي هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, on the authority of Abu Huraira رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَرْضَى, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يلج النار رجل بكى من خشية الله, لا يلج النار رجل بكى من خشية الله حتى يعود اللبن في الدرع ولا يجتمع غبار في سبيل الله ولا دخان جهنم. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa abdahu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يلج النار رجل بكى من خشية الله, that person will not enter the hellfire. Weezy will shed tears out of the fear of Allah. He shed tears out of the fear of Allah. As if this is not enough, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم went ahead to say that حتى يعود اللبن في الدرع, until That is, it is as if Rasulullah is placing a precondition that could make that person to enter the hellfire. That is, to drive further home the point that that person will not be entitled to enter the hellfire until the meat goes back into the order, which is impossible. When you milk a cow, can you return the milk? You cannot. That is one of the virtues of shedding tears out of the fear of Allah. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, as we shall be reading in the next hadith. Shedding tears for the fear of Allah. For you to shed tears for because of the fear of Allah, it's not something that happens in a repulse manner. Something will lead to it. And that is why you will see the righteous predecessors. This statement was very popular among them. تَعَالَوْ بِنَا نُؤْمِنُ سَاعَةً تَعَالَوْ بِنَا نُؤْمِنُ سَاعَةً. Come with us. Let's renew our faith for an hour. Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the iman you see, يَخْرَقُ كَمَا يَخْرَقُ الثَّوْبُ. It gets old. Just like the clothes you wear. You know, when you buy a new cloth, it shines, it glitters, it's fine, it's beautiful. When you wash it for like 12 times, it changes. That is the likeness of iman. Then it will get to a stage where you will need to do away with that cloth and get a new one. Rasulullah says, the likeness of the cloth you wear is your iman. Which means it needs to be what? Renewed. How do you renew it? By listening to the words of Allah, pondering over the words of Allah, going close to people whom, if you see them, you remember Allah. The righteous, for example, one of the Sahaba says that our brothers, إِخْوَانُنَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ أَهْلِينَا. Our brothers are more beloved to us than our families. What? He said, لِأَنَّ إِخْوَانَنَا يُذَكِّرُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. We are here on the basis of brotherhood. If not because of Riyadu Salihin, we wouldn't have what? Gathered here. That is brotherhood. We have come to remind ourselves. We have come to renew our iman. وَلَكِنَّ أَهْلِينَا يُذَكِّرُونَنَا بِالدُّنْيَا. He said, the reason why we love our brothers more than we love our families is because our families, what they do is to remind us of the what? Of the dunya. Now, even maybe before you leave here, is either you see a missed call, or a text message giving you a list of those items that you need to buy. Or you get home. It is issues of dunya. Going close to people who will remind you of your akhirah. That is how you renew your iman. He says, حَتَّى يَعُودَ اللَّبَنْ فِي الْبِرْءِ. That is to say that person will never be entitled to what? Entering the hellfire. That because someone who will shed tears out of the fear of Allah must have attained some level of what? Of iman. Some level of iman. Scholars said that level of iman, the reason why is not for the mere purpose of shedding tears. It's because that the fear of Allah will prevent that person from what? from getting engaged in sinful acts. It does not mean that that person will become an angel. No. Nobody can become an angel. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The fear of Allah will serve as the shield between you and what? And sinful acts. The don'ts of Allah, you abstain from them. The do's of Allah, you abide by them. وَلَا يَجْتَمِعُ غُبَارٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَدُخَانُ جَهَنَّمْ وَدُخَانُ جَهَنَّمْ. And that a dust raised in the cause of fighting fi sabilillah. While fighting in the cause of Allah, the dust raised and the smoke of Jahannam can never coexist. They will never coexist. So once there is dust raised in the course of jihad, if you experience dust being raised while striving in the cause of Allah, then you will never experience the smoke of Jahannam. Talk less of tasting its punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the hell of Jahannam. This hadith encapsulates both the virtue of shedding tears out of fear of Allah, as well the virtue of jihad. That was why once Jabir ibn Abdullah when he was even of age, they went out on the mission of jihad and everybody was riding, and Jabir ibn Abdullah stepped off his ride and was walking on his feet, and it was said to him, why? He said, because of the dust. Because of what? Of the dust. You can only imagine what the dust means. The dust that was raised in the course of jihad. We Muslims of today can only what? We can only imagine that. Because that is the stage of imma nasru wa imma shahada. One of the two must happen. Is either you are victorious or you are martyred. Putting your life online for the purpose of what? Protecting the deen. That is why the deen is here today. Because some people died. Some people were killed so that the religion will survive. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. وعنه قال, the next hadith is still that of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. That's a very popular hadith. On that day when people will be running helter-skelter, يوم يفر المرء من من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه. That day, everyone will be running away from his brother. He will run away from his mother, from his father, from his wife, from his children. He doesn't want to see any of them. Why? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنًا يُغْنِيهِ. because each and every individual already has enough burden. Nobody is even ready of imagining himself thinking about the problem of another person. It will come to a stage on the day of Qiyamah when even the prophets and messengers will be saying, Allahumma la as'aluka illa nafsi. Because of the severeness, even the messengers of Allah will be saying, Allah, I am not asking of anything as of now except myself. There are instances where even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved, will not remember any other person except himself. As in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arzaha. On that day, the sun will be brought nearer to us. The hadith of Miqdad said it will be brought closer to us to the distance of a mil. Miqdad said, I don't know what Rasulullah ﷺ meant by mil. Is it the measurement of distance or that instrument women use to apply? What do you call it? To apply, is it called? To eye? Eyelet. It's also called mil in Arabic language. Presently, it is at the distance of 930 something million miles. And we are still crying that it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. When, what is going to be the case when it will be brought closer to us? Distance of a mile. Then that day some people will be honored. In this hadith, Rasulullah made mention of seven categories of people who will be honored. That day, in the hadith of Miqdad, people will be sweating according to their good and bad deeds. Some of them, their sweat will be up to their ankles, some of them to their knees, some of them it will even get to their neck, some of them they will even have to be raising up their head so as not to drink from it. And one person's sweat will not affect that of another. But when people will be in that situation, Rasulullah ﷺ in this hadith made mention of seven categories of people that will be under the shade of Al-Arsh, as in another hadith. The shade of the Arsh, the magnificent throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will be secluded under that shade. Who are they? Imamun Adil. Imamun Adil. A just ruler. A just ruler. Imam here does not only apply to the president, to the governor, the chairman of the local government, councillors and the like. Imam, a leader in your respective places of responsibilities and authorities. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you accountable with regard to your area of jurisdiction, no matter how little it is. You are an imam when it comes to your family. Allah will ask you about your wife, your children. The woman, Allah will ask her about the children of her husband and the house. Imamun Adil, are you just? On the day of Qiyamah, every individual who, while he was alive, held a position of authority will be brought changed. On the day of Qiyamah, you know the principle, the golden principle of Sharia and common law is that every accused person is presumed to be innocent. On the day of Qiyamah, no. If you were a leader in the dunya, then you are presumed guilty. Not until your deed of how you went about your leadership prove otherwise. So every leader will be brought change on the day of Qiyamah. It is your being just that will what? That will determine whether that chain will be put off you or that person will be accompanied with the chain to Jahannam. May Allah protect us. It was said that one of the famous leaders of Islam, while he was at his elementary stage, his teacher flogged him without no reason. He asked, "Why did you beat me?" He said, "Shut up." He didn't answer his question. When he, after about 20 years, he grew up to become the Amir after the demise of his father. Now he is in the position of power. He invited the teacher and asked that question. While he was, you can, even as I am sitting here, I can still remember, even if I've forgotten names of those teachers that were very wicked. It's normal. He invited the teacher and asked, "Then, why did you beat me?" I asked, there was no response. He said, "You've not forgotten?" He said, "I have not." He said, "It is for you to know that the oppressed does not forget." لِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ الْمَظْلُومَ لَا يَنْسَى. You can see, since when was that? You have not forgotten, you have grown up even to be the Amir. And you have not forgotten. So now that you are now handling the responsibility of leadership, don't oppress anybody, be just. Because the oppressed will never forget. That is the lesson I wanted to teach you. On the day of Qiyamah, that is why Allah subhanallah, when I see how people struggle to get a position of leadership, subhanallah. They fight, they are even ready to kill. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told one of his apostles, he said, "Innaha amana wa innaka da'if." That is a trust. And from my assessment of you, you are weak. Righteousness says us. They do relocate. They relocate, run from a particular settlement to places where they are not known. Because on the day of Qiyamah, all these people will be on your neck. People who died without food, people who died because they don't have access to hospital, medical services, they don't have good water, they don't have good roads, and you are the leader. What will you tell Allah? What will be your... إذا قال الله لك يا عمر لما لم تصلح لها الطريق لما لم تصلح لها الطريق يا عمر. عمر was even scared that even the animals that people do rear, if they don't have good roots, what will I tell Allah if Allah asks me about that animal that stumbled because of a bad road? You can imagine. Over 1,000 years ago, leaders were thinking of good roads for animals. And today, we don't even care about good roads for human beings. Imamun Adil, a just leader. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. شَابٌ نشأ في عبادة الله تعالى. And a youth grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very great bounty of Allah for you to be at the stage of youthfulness and you are abiding by the rules and regulations of the deen. This hadith is telling you that that is a special favor of Allah. شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. He grew up in the worship of Allah. It is not that he cannot go partying, he cannot go clubbing, he cannot... He is a youth, he also even maybe have the means of doing those things more than people that are doing it, but he restrains himself. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Because this soul will not allow you, but you have to exercise restraint. نَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Because of the fear of Allah. It is not that you cannot do as well. شَابٌ نَسَعَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. He grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted. Then he will also be entitled to be on the shape of the Arsh of Rahman on that day when the sun will be brought closer to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And that person whose heart is attached to the mosque. His heart is attached to the masjid. How? Scholars said, if he comes into the masjid to observe a prayer and he leaves, he longs to come back. He wants to come back. His heart is attached. Scholars said there is a form of exaggeration in this expression. It is as though the heart of the person was removed. It is as though that essential part of the body of human being was removed from him and it was hung in the masjid. So whenever he leaves, you know, when you have something precious kept somewhere, you once in a while want to go and make sure it is intact. That is the situation of that person. It is as if the heart is in the masjid, so he cannot do without the heart. So we'll have to be coming to the masjid every now and then. So then this person will also be entitled to being under the shade of Rahman that day when there will not be any other shade except that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلَانِ تَهَبَّى فِي اللَّهِ اِشْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَى عَلَيْهِ. And two persons who loved one another for the sake of Allah. اِشْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ. They met on the love of Allah. وَافْتَرَقَ عَلَيْهِ. They departed on the love of Allah. From the point of their meeting to the point of departure, it was based on what? On the love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving for the sake of Allah is an aspect of ibadah. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, when someone came and informed the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I love that brother, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have you informed him? He said, no. He said, go and inform him. So it is sunnah for you to tell someone whom you love for the sake of Allah that I love you for the sake of Allah. It is sunnah for such person to reply that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom sake you love me, love you in return. So loving one another for the sake of Allah is an act of worship. So these two brothers who loved one another for the sake of Allah, since from the point of meeting and at the point of departure, they loved one another for the sake of Allah, both of them will be entitled to being under the shade of Rahman that day when there will be no any other shade except it. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ امْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. And that person whom an extremely beautiful woman. It is not that she's extremely beautiful, she is also of high status. Ratu Mansib wa Jamal. She seduces him. For what reason? For illicit relation. But what was his response? فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. What he said, I am afraid of Allah. That was the only reason. He was not afraid of any other thing. You know, if you look at the scenario, it is a depiction of what happened to Nabiullah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There was no fear. There was the surrounding circumstances dictate that there shouldn't be fear. But because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the Quran said, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. It is not only that she locked the doors. The Quran did not say أَغْلَقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. غَلَّقَتْ. يعني تأكيدا. Being the owner of the house, she perfected the locking of the doors. It wasn't one door. أَبْوَابِ. غلقت الأبواب. But yet, Nabiullah Yusuf was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone finds himself in such a situation, it's not because the woman is not, she's not of, you know, the response of the idiot. The president of America, what he said when he was accused of illicit relationship with a woman. He said that woman that was on the media accusing him is not, she's not of his type. She's not the type he would have gone for. That was his response. That is and logically that is an admission. That is an admission, logically. That woman, civil wa jamal, extremely beautiful and of high status. She seduces someone, and someone was able to abstain just for the fear of Allah and nothing more. This person will be entitled to be under the shade of Allah on that day when there will be no other shit. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. And that person who gives out in charity and he conceals it. حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. He conceals it to the extent that even the left hand did not know what the right hand has given out. That is mubalagha. That is even the left hand does not know what the right hand has given out. And that is the best of sadaqah. The one you do in the hidden. إن تبدوا الصدقات فإن فنعم ماه وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير. It is the best when you hide it, you conceal it, and you give it to the needy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is nothing wrong. Sometimes wisdom may dictate that you proclaim your sadaqah. Maybe if you want to encourage people, like the hadith of Man Sanna Sunnat and Hasana, you know, the reason was because someone brought a very huge amount of gold. And people saw that and they were instigated. And their passion was ignited towards giving sadaqah. And they started giving. He initiated the sunnah. Sometimes it may even be the best. So that people will see that, okay, this person have made an initiative, let's follow suit. Allah says, there is nothing wrong with you proclaiming that. But وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم. But if you conceal it and give it to the needy, it is better for you. أخفاها حتى لا تعلموا شماله ما تنفق يمينه. Concealing sadaqa. If you do this, you will be entitled to being under the shade of Rahman. ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. The seventh category is that of the person that remembered Allah in solitude. He was in seclusion, he was alone. And as I've always said, that one of the rights we should impose on ourselves is creating time once in a while when you will be alone, away from the noise of the home, of the children, a time in the night when everybody is asleep, when you sit down and be just to yourself. Are you good to go now? If the angel of death were to take your soul now, are you capable of meeting Allah? Are you in a good form of someone who can stand before Allah? Sit down and think about the grave, the day you will be taken to the graveyard, left there alone. The angels will come asking questions. What becomes of you? You sit down alone. These are the processes that will lead you into that stage of what? Shedding tears for the fear of Allah. Create that time for yourself. When you sit down alone, perform ablution, observe two rak'ah. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the hellfire. Think about the qabr. Think about the hayat of barzakh. How is your own going to be? That will go a long way in assisting you. رجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude. And what happens? His eyes poured out tears. Shedding tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why it is difficult for us to shed tears, no matter how heavy, how scary the text of the Quran or Sunnah may be, is because of the decay of our hearts. Qaswa, as the Quran says. By continuously listening to the words of Allah, recitation of the Holy Quran, it does away with that decay. It opens the heart, softens it. Then tears will be able to what? To flow for the fear of Allah. So this seventh category of people, if you strive hard, you will be entitled to be under that shade for more than one reason. You will be entitled to be under that shade for all these reasons that were stated by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for three of the reasons, for four of the reasons, for five of the reasons, for six of the reasons. Al-Muhim, if you have this in you, then this is a glad tidings for you that on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be running helter-skelter, you will be under the shade of what? Of Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that privilege. When Abdullah ibn Shakhir رضي الله عنه قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي ولجوفه أزير أزيز كأزيز المرجل من البكاء. That Abdullah ibn Shakhir رضي الله عنه said, I came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was praying. He was observing salat. ولجوفه أزيز كأزيز المرجل. And you can hear from his chest sounding like a boiling kettle. Min al-buka. Out of what? Out of weeping. He was crying while he prays. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith is that of Anas radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. This was the Sahabi whose name I was unable to recall some times back. He was the Sahabi whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Inna Allah azza wa jalla amarani an aqra alayk lam yakun alladhina kafaru. Surah al-Bayyinah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me that I should recite for you Surah al-Bayyinah. قال he said وسماني. He said, you mean Allah made mention of my name? He said, Allah mentioned me? That was the question. When Rasulullah SAW told him that Allah commanded me that I should recite for you إن الذين كفروا لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب. He said, Allah made mention of my name? سماني. قال نعم. Rasulullah SAW said yes. فَبَكَى أُبَيٌّ فَبَكَى أُبَيٌّ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَجَعَلَ أُبَيٌّ يَبْكِي. Then Ubay busted into tears. He started crying. Why? Out of joy. He was crying out of joy. So Allah مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبِعِ سَمَوَاتٍ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبِعِ سَمَوَاتٍ to mention your name. To send a message through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning you. Scholar said, that is to tell you how elevated the status of Ubay ibn Ka'b is in the sight of Allah because of the love for Quran. Ubay had a very strong love for Quran. One of the Sahabas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who memorized the Quran. He said, Sammani, when Rasulullah said, Naam, Allah made mention of your name. Allah mentioned you. Then he busted into tears. He started crying. Muttafaqun alayh. Let's quickly look at that of the hadith of Anas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We've discussed this hadith previously under the chapter of Ziyara to Ahlil Khayr. The hadith of Anas, he said, قال أبو بكر لعمر بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انطلق بنا إلى أم أيمن. That Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى عنه said to Umar, may Allah سبحانه وتعالى be pleased with them, انطلق بنا إلى أم أيمن. That come with us, let's visit أم أيمن. نزورها. Come with us, let's visit أم أيمن. كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزورها. She was a slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed her. She was the woman that drank the urine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was thirsty in the night and she saw a bowl, thinking the content was water, she drank it. In the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed her to throw off the content of the bowl. She said what? She said, drank it. Rasulullah laughed. He said, you drank that? He said, yes. He said, you will never ever complain of stomach ache after now. So she so much love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they visited her, فَلَمَّا انْتَهَيَا إِلَيْهَا بَكَتْ. When they got to her place and she saw them, she wept. Then they said to her, فَقَالَا لَهَا. They said to her, مَا يُبْكِيكِ, why are you crying? أم أيمن, أَمَا تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَيْرٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Don't you know that what Allah has in store for His Messenger is better for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the better to Allah, is better for Him. قَالَتْ إِنِّي لَا أَبْكِي أَلَّا أَكُونَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, no, I'm not crying because of the ignorance of the fact that I don't know that what Allah has in store for His Messenger is the best for Him. No, that is not the reason. I am not ignorant of that. I am aware of that. But why am I crying? وَلَكِنِّي أَبْكِي أَنَّ الْوَحْيَ قَدْ انْقَطَعَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The reason why I cry is because the relationship between the heaven and the earth has ceased. That is revelation. Subhanallah, look at how deep the woman was thinking. The relationship between the earth. That was what happened when the verse of اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. When that verse was revealed, was it Umar or Abu Bakr? When Rasulullah in Hajjatul Wada recited these verses of the Quran to them, Umar busted into tears. He started crying. He cried profusely. Rasulullah said, Umar, why? He said, Rasulullah, that Allah has completed the deen. And the tradition is that nothing will be completed except that from the point of completion, it starts what? Declining. And right from that day, that is what has been happening up till now. And that was how we are gradually moving into the state of al-gharaba with Rasulullah in front of us. Inna hadha ad-din bada'a ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban kama bada. It started as a strange religion. Rasulullah said, time will come when it will return to the likeness of the state it started. It will become strange. Even salat, there are places where if you observe salat, they will look at you. Why is this one praying like this? Because they are used to. In fact, subhanAllah, if you see some people pray, you will be thinking, is this salat? So if you are trying to pray the way Rasulullah taught, it will be strange to them. Almost everything in the religion today is becoming strange. Strange among the Muslims themselves. So if it is strange among the Muslims themselves, what do we expect from non-Muslims? That revelation, it is because of the fever of revelation that I'm crying. When they had this, فَحَيَّجَتْهُمَا عَلَى الْبُكَاءِ. This statement of hers made the both of them to start what? Crying. فَجَعَلَا يَبْكِيَانِ مَعَهَا. And they started crying alongside Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha wa afdaha. Imam Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala brought this hadith under Babu Ziyarati Ahlil Khayr, the chapter that discusses the virtue of visiting good people. Yeah, when you visit good people, you gain. You don't visit them without gaining anything. This is something they've never thought of. Umar was the person that was threatening those who were saying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. He said, if anybody repeats that, I'm going to cut off his head. Because he doesn't even want to hear that. But you can see, for the purpose of visiting this woman, she taught them another aspect which they have missed by the demise of who? Of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Scholars now say that good people, when good people pass on, there are some blessings that goes away with them. There are some blessings that we enjoy by virtue of the presence of some good people amid us. It is just because those good people are there that Allah is covering us with that particular blessing. But we might not know. Not until that person is no more there. People will not start, look, when that person was alive, he used to do this, he used to do that. If he were around, he would have just done this. I can remember one of our mentors, Sheikh Dr. Sharafuddin Raji, once was saying, we were together with him, and he said something that always rings in my mind. Up till now, I've not forgotten. I was the only person with him then. He said, we were discussing a particular Islamic issue, a contemporary issue. Then he said, subhanallah, these are issues that were being single-handedly dealt with by individuals. The likeness of Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. But now, after they have passed on, scholars will have to come together to reach consensus and bring about an Islamic position. And Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, a blind person, will sit there on his chair, and without even going back, the question will be read to him, and there and then he resolved it. Now they are not there. Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, people are now realizing the gaps they have left. These are people that will call those in authority. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz will call Pakistan, call Egypt, call those countries, say, that da'i, that Islamic preacher I heard is in prison. I want him released. We send, write a letter, go and give to the president. That da'i should be brought out of the prison. And it will be done without delay. Is that not a blessing? It cut across countries. If you are reading, you see, after his demise, scholars bringing out letters. This was the letter he wrote while I was in prison. He called the president of my country while I was in prison. He did this, and immediately I was... He does that, he's a blind person. Even the Saudi Arabia government, if they want to do something, he talks to them, they change their mind. But today, even the convergence of all the scholars, it is not necessary that they listen to them. Is that not a blessing? So good people, when they pass on, in most cases, some blessings which we are being favored with by virtue of their presence amongst us goes with them. Definitely, when Rasulullah ﷺ passed on, there can't be wahi again. There cannot be. Except on the creed of the Ahmadis. The Ahmadiyya, who claimed that Mirza Ahmad Ghulam also received what? Revelation. Iyadan billah. One Dr. Saeed Timain in Lagos, whom I once engaged, is one of their learned leaders. He said, Allah revealed to An-Nahl, أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى النَّحْلِ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى النَّحْلِ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى. That is not only the messengers of Allah that Allah revealed to. You can see these are texts of the Quran, and someone who does not know can easily be carried away. It is true, that is the Quran. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Is it not true? I said, okay, Majnoon. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. I said, you are suffering from a very high level of madness. The earth is also a prophet of Allah because أَوْحَى لَهَا. That is to tell you that wahy in that context differs from the wahy we are talking about. But they use these verses to mislead people. It is very easy for someone to say, yeah, it's true. It's not only messengers of Allah. So if it is not only messengers of Allah, there is a possibility. Just to create a probability of another person being revealed to. Now, even for the sake of argument, let's agree that Allah does not reveal to only His messengers. All those to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, He made mention of that. So where is it that we've been told that this your own prophet will be revealed to? Even Rasulullah SAW, before he came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a glad tidings about what? About his coming. Even if for the sake of argument we agree that yes, okay, Allah is capable of revealing to any other person, but what is the evidence that this person was revealed to? And that was why they were declared as non-Muslim minority in Pakistan in the 80s. Non-Muslim minorities of that country. And even of recent, the United Kingdom, UK, an organization of Islamic scholars declared them as such too. Of recent. So it is only on their creed that they believe that no, there is a revelation after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at Ummu Ayman. She said, انقطع الوحي من السماء. انقطع الوحي من السماء. The reason why Imam An-Nawawi repeated this hadith under this chapter is the fact that the wept for the fact that they remembered the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the blessing, that blessing that left and departed with the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Because of time, we are going to draw the curtain here. If Allah grants us the privilege of meeting next week, we shall be looking at the next hadith, that of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma wa ardahuma wallahu a'lam. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. في الدرع. That is after milking the cow. The dirr is the udder. The substance of the source of the milk. It cannot go back. It is like the likeness of the saying of Allah, حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخير. That is to tell you that it is impossible. Yes. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Nazif. Yes. Yes. He has since been granted bail. Yes, he's on bail, but the case is still on. Yes. He has been granted bail. Yes. Malik salam to Allah. Yes. Not to that, you might be able to It is not. Yes.
The other aspect of the question is that of the battery. Concerning the battery, as the worship of Allah said that the difference of the two in the reality of the house. So, people who
will create. Does that what you will do? That will do.
So, in that situation now,
yes, there is no contradiction between the fact that Rasulullah said, marry childbearing women. Marry childbearing women for I will your number will be a source of my of pride for me on the day of Qiyamah. فَإِنِّي مُكَثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So there is no contradiction between that and the responsibility placed on the tithe-bearers. You can see there are a long list of ahadith. Where Rasulullah SAW even threatened that if you abandon your subject, there is a severe punishment awaiting you in before Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala on the day of Qiyamah. If you abandon them, neglect them, refuse to give them the required tarbiyah, the required training, the required care, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you responsible. So the fact that Rasulullah said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ, it goes with what? With the responsibility that is placed on that person. And that is why, even at then, Rasulullah was still saying, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابَ مَنِ اسْتَطَاءَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فعليه الصيام. That if all you youth, if you are capable of marrying, capability here, scholar says your ability to cater for her, to feed her, to satisfy her sexually, that is ba'a. But if you are not capable of doing that, you have another option. The option is what? Is that of fasting. It is not that if you fast, you will not have urge. It won't kill the nature in you. But it's because as-siyamu junnah, it is a shield. Because you are not capable of marrying, Satan will not be able to penetrate you. When you fast, you are closer to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the wisdom behind you what? Behind you fasting. So the fear of this is the fear of tazawwaj al-wadud al-wadud. He's the one that says if you are not capable, you should what? You should fast instead. So you need to bring those ahadith together to arrive at the right position, the right Islamic position. Maybe you are indirectly referring to what is going, the discussion that is going on now concerning Sanusi Lamido Sanusi. Yes, people are just in haste. Let's see the seed law. Two people will not disagree that the institution of marriage is being abused. It's been abused. You see someone with uncountable children. Someone was telling me that was it unjust? A fellow came back in the evening and saw so many children playing at the frontage of his house, and he said, "Go back to your house. Is it not yet evening?" And all of them ran into his house. He was surprised. He said, "Huh? So they are all men. They are all from this house." The life. Look at that man that married how many in Niger. When he died, 130. He's now late. The children. It was amused when he died. They were talking about how many children. Can imagine that. So now, how do you account for that before Allah? How do you account for that before Allah? Even if, that is if we overlook the aspect of marrying more than four. So there is nothing wrong in regulating such a thing. That was what Umar did during his time. In fact, that of Umar is even more pronounced, because people now started pronouncing three talaq at once. During the lifetime of Rasulullah ﷺ, it was not rampant. But if you say, I divorce you 1,000 times, it will be counted as what? As one. During the life of the lifetime of Umar, the caliphate of Umar, it became the order of the day. That is, almost everybody that wants to divorce will say, I've divorced you 1,000 times. I divorced you three times. Because they know that that three times is what? Is one. So when it became rampant, Umar said, from now on, whosoever pronounced three, it stands. But before his demise, he reversed it by saying that during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talaq, no matter how many was pronounced, used to be one. During the lifetime of Abu Bakr, it used to be one. But why I did that was because people were in haste. They were in haste. So that was why I did that, to caution them. So, Islamically, the Sultan, the Amir, can regulate these things. Can regulate these things. And I am aware that the scholars that were engaged for the purposes of drafting the said law are very learned. The likeness of Dr. Bashir, very, very learned. Very learned Sunni scholar. But let's wait for the law and see what the content is before we jump into criticizing and conclusions. But generally, if any من استعجل الأمر قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه, that is an Islamic principle. So if anything that is lawful in Sharia is being abused, then it is allowed, it is a discretionary power of the Sultan to regulate it. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding. Allahu a'lam.
Actually, I was going to ask, but you have mentioned that. I think the question was informed by what
is happening, what is on the social media.
My concern now is how you bracket the poor. How do you bracket it? What justice are you going to use within the social category of people?
You see, it is the caption of the issue of the poor, whether it's the poor or the rich that will be entitled to marry more than one, is just the caption of the media. That's why in this kind of a situation, I prefer not to start making it. Whatever you say now will amount to speculation. You will just be speculating. So let's see the content of the said law, which will be disclosed. It will be made public, and public hearings will be people will be afforded opportunity to argue and advise, and it will be revised. So let's wait for that stage when the law will be made public, and we will see the yardstick, if at all that is what it means, that marrying more than one wife should be for the rich, which I doubt. Yes, so but let's wait and see what the content of the said law is going to be. But if there is going to be a codified family law, it's a very interesting development. It's a very good development. Look at the it will take care of a lot of things. Go to villages and look at the how high the level of HIV spreading. You will now be imagining how come that this remote area, almost everybody is a HIV carrier. You will imagine how someone that comes to town and left his wife, some of them, they will come to town, leave their wife there for more than 1 year without going back home. And he goes back home, maybe he doesn't have wife, he's already infected, he marries. But if there is a codified law, there is nothing wrong in us imposing on people, if you want to marry, let's see your identity from so stuff. It will reduce the thing. It will reduce it. It is only here, it's because of the complexity of our situation, the multi-religious country that we are. But go to other countries predominated by Muslims. You don't just come to this mosque now. You see our tradition, things are very simple here. You can just, after Salatul Maghrib now, someone can just walk in and say, I'm the father of a lady, her name is this, and this person is interested in marrying her. They have saved the father for so amount of money. And we solemnize the nikah, and it's done. It's not done that way outside this country. You have to go through processes, and it is helping. This is 21st century. That is how you have data of people who are divorced, how many people the rate at which people are getting married, the level of divorce, because there is what? You have data for everything. You have data for everything. And data is also a source of strength. It guides your decisions. You know how many widows you have in the society, how many divorces. You can sit down and analyze societal issues and take proper decisions. You see, there are a lot of things that will be of benefit if there is a good codified law that regulates the institution. There is nothing wrong with that. Yes, that is the practice now. In Latvia, even if they are coming from outside Latvia to marry a daughter of theirs, the marriage will have to be delayed. You have to go and do that, and the results must be brought. That is good. Which is good. A brother, 3 weeks back was telling me about someone. In fact, they've done the nikah. They've packed they went later in the evening to pack, get her things. Then someone in the neighborhood called a sister to the groom that, I hope your husband is aware, your brother is aware of what? His wife is this and that. His wife is this and that. And that is how it gets circulating. It circulates, this person will now go and take a second wife now. You get it? And that is how it works. He takes a second wife, there is problem, he divorces her, another person marries her. So we are an organized ummah. We are an organized ummah. So let's wait for such things to come to the fore, then before it will be better than we speculating without seeing what the content of the law is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding. SubhanAllah wa bihamdik. Asalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.